Hello?
Hey, it's Flora.
Hey, what's up?
So the fact I want to share with you is about spiders.
Oh, God. Okay.
My friend Prashant Venkat is back for Fact Buddy.
I do need to mentally prepare myself because it's, yeah.
Oh, why? Are you, do you have a thing with spiders?
You know, I think when my girlfriend needs me to, like, do a capture and release, I can muster up enough strength to get it done for that 10-minute block. But in general, it's, if I just picture a spider crawling across my bed, or I have this weird thing where if I'm sleeping at night and I feel like a movement that I know I didn't cause, I freak out and I like jump out of bed and I'm like, it's definitely, yeah. Anyway.
I don't think this is going to help you with that, but you don't need to work. You do not need to imagine them crawling across your bed for this Fact Buddy session.
Okay.
So,
okay. Hit me.
Okay. I just want to start with a little bit of misdirection, actually. Like, I think...
You know that's not how misdirection works.
Yeah, I know. I'm signposting it too much. Well, here's the thing. With spiders, the low-hanging fruit for spider facts, it's, like, always about the silk, you know?
Yeah, and the tensile strength of the silk or whatever. And...
Exactly.
So, ounce for ounce... dragline silk of an orb spider is about 5 times stronger than steel.
So that was Todd Blackledge, and he is a spider expert and focuses on webs. And I don't want to poo-poo on that fact, but...
No, you're right. We should not be disparaging facts on Fact Buddy, but I think you're right in that it's the first thing people go to because of Spider-Man and webs.
Right.
And people... being like, oh, would he really be able to handle the full weight of a human person? Like, yeah, definitely.
It definitely would many times over, no problem.
Right.
So I think that's kind of low-hanging fruit. And I wanted to give you something a little bit nicher. And it is about spider bodies.
Oh, everything is different about spider anatomy compared to us.
Yeah, I'm pacing in a room and I had to stop walking when I heard that.
Why?
Because my first thought is, you know how when you go to a museum and there's the spider wing and they always show you the underbelly of a spider and it's so jarring. You're like, what is all that stuff? Like, what are all those bumps and muscles and why? It's like, it's so... And I just realized that's where we might be going, and I had to take a breath. But anyway, continue.
So that's where your mind went. We're going deeper than that.
Oh, cool.
So spiders are really, they're all about big meals. In fact, they can consume their body weight in a single meal, which I'd like to...
What?
I know.
That is nuts.
Imagine eating a nacho platter that weighed as much as you did.
That also sounds like my dream.
Me too. But how would you do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, A, our body cavities are not meant to hold that much food at any given moment. So there's that hindrance.
This is what spiders have figured out. If you're going to eat your body weight in a single meal, you need to have a solution to that problem.
Now, for bigger species of spiders, their stomachs can actually protrude down toward their legs. And that helps them to be able to eat really big meals.
So they have to unbutton their pants and let their stomach go into their legs.
It goes into their legs, and then also in their abdomen, it has all these kinds of sacs, if you will, that can expand out and fill up with food as they're eating.
They have the ultimate expandable waist belt.
That is really cool. And it makes me wonder about, like, in, you know, in the same way that, like, cacti need to be able to go long periods without water so they're able to just, like, store a shitload of water.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what environment, with regards to natural selection, that needed spiders to be able to go long periods without having a meal and be able to select for leg food sacks.
What Todd said is that it's like they have a boom or bust lifestyle.
Spider spiders are just living on the edge.
They're living on the edge, and they're waiting for something to stumble into their web, right? They're not going out to get stuff. They're waiting for something to fly into them.
Ah, yes. That's fascinating. It only gets to eat when somebody else fucks up.
Right.
Have you heard that phrase? It's just like, when your enemy is making a mistake, don't stop them. Like, that's all a spider's ever doing.
That's right.
That is really interesting. I did not know that. This is a very good fact.
Well, I have one more thing to tell you about spiders. And it relates to, I don't know if you knew this, but it relates to this paradox in the spider world. Teeny tiny spiders, like they're tiny spiders the size of a speck of dust or like the period at the end of a sentence. And those spiders can make webs as intricate and complex and big as, you know, very big spiders with presumably bigger brains, right?
Right.
So the assumption is that these tiny spiders have much smaller brains. And the question that this raised in like preeminent spiderologists' minds was, how do these tiny spiders do it?
The spiders were actually able to compensate somewhat by letting their brain essentially ooze all the way down into their legs as they were growing.
Ah, the leg sack strikes again. Oh my God, it's all about the leg sack.
That's right. It's all about the leg sack.
Oh my God. Oh man, all I'm going to think about this week is how much wasted space is going on in my legs now. I could be way smarter if just these stupid legs were more hollow and could take in some more information.
This has made me think about my own brain size. I have a small head, and I've always suspected it's like amazing that I've accomplished what I have accomplished with the head the size that I have. And now... I feel really secure in that assessment now. I think it's amazing. Unless, like, secretly my brain is, like, sloshing down.
This is a huge, huge win for cargo shorts. I'm just saying. That's all I'm going to say. Huge win for cargo shorts and cargo pants. People were shitting on those things in the late 90s and the early 2000s. But this makes me think we should have brought them back.
You mean, legs, like, leg space is underrated?
Yeah.
This is like an also like cargo shorts. You could put your extra food in there. Like you could actually live like a spider if you just wore cargo shorts. Coming up, we break this story wide open.
Did you invent cargo pantsology?
I would say I did invent cargo pantsology.
Okay, cargo shorts. It became clear, as I was talking to Prashant, that cargo shorts were not just like the butt of a fact buddy joke for him. They were an essential garment in his youth.
Man, I'm talking heart of Midwest. Like, I'm wearing cargo shorts. I'm a latchkey kid. I come home. I pop a Tombstone pizza in the oven.
Just the mention of cargo shorts jogged all these memories for him.
Okay, so I'm going to take you through a little history of Prashant's growth as a person.
Oh my God, let me just lean back and relax.
So, like, our communities...
And I'm just going to give you the highlight reel. But basically, in this formative moment of Prashant's life, cargo shorts were always there for him.
Because you have a bunch of stuff you were carrying, like, if you're...
The pockets were very practical.
Like, when I had the Nokia brick... Was not
cargo pants. They were also in rotation.
This is the most pathetic thing I will ever say. Cargo pants was a type of formal wear for me.
Cargo pants, cargo shorts. It was almost like they were a part, and I'm hesitating on the word choice, but I don't think it's a stretch. It's like they were part of his identity.
I used to wear them all the time.
But then at some moment, teenage Prashant stops wearing them.
And then I think I just sort of I don't know if I was actively shamed out of it, but I think as you just want to fit in, and slowly the cargo shorts were part of that shedding of youth.
Somehow, somewhere along the way, cargo became a joke.
Cargo shorts. Like the crime of, are they long short pants or short long pants?
Cargo pants came in, went out, came back in again.
No one's gotten a hand job in cargo shorts since Nam.
Who are you trying to kid, man? You're not doing any maintenance. You don't need pockets for tools. No.
I want to know the trends and forces that brought them into the public light and then snuffed them out.
Catherine Wells, producer on this show, felt a deep kinship with these questions and wanted to look into it.
I'm kind of serious about this. I know sometimes we joke on this show, but I actually mean it.
Sometimes we joke on this show.
They blew in and out of our lives. Where did they come from? Where did they go? And what does it all mean?
Well, people like to say I have a PhD in cargo pants, and they also like to say that I invented cargo pants, which I think is hilarious because I'm not that old.
Did you invent cargo pantsology?
I would say I did invent cargo pantsology.
Okay, so this is Dr. Joe Hancock, and he is who I first consulted to help me deconstruct this phenomenon. His interest in cargo is longstanding.
I was 15 when I started working in retail. And I worked for a jean store, a jean company by the name of County Seat.
That's a cute name for a jean store.
Oh, it's fantastic. And Guess came out with a pair of jeans that had cargo pockets on the side that were made out of leather.
Wow.
And I had to have them.
When did you start collecting them?
It started probably in about 1987 and went from 1987 all the way through to about 2007.
Like, how many did, at the peak of your cargo collection, how many did you have?
I would say probably over 200 with shorts and pants.
So you could wear, almost every day of the year, you could wear a different cargo-themed bottom.
I could.
So Joe worked in fashion and merchandising for many years. This was just a personal interest. Then he decided he wanted to go back to school to get a PhD. And you know, when you do that, you need to write a dissertation. And it needs to be about something that no one else has ever talked about before.
It's like the t-shirt, it's like jeans, but it was ignored. Like nobody talked about it. So that's why I decided to talk about it.
His 328-page dissertation tracks the rise of cargo. And we are going to summarize his argument here in the hopes that we can understand the factors that led to their downfall.
They show up in 1935, 1936. There's this inception of this cargo pant.
There are lots of theories about the exact inventor.
One of the rumors is that, you know, there was a general who did not like his soldiers putting their hands in their front pockets.
This general, according to a 1986 Banana Republic catalog, was the Spanish fascist dictator Francisco Franco.
He wanted a garment that soldiers could have that would have pockets that they could still put things in. So they just decided to move the pockets down.
So these potentially fascist pants were born in 1935. The fashion spread throughout military uniforms all around the world. And then after World War II, guys come home, sometimes they wear the pants around, sometimes the pants make their way into thrift stores. And then in the 60s, they make their way into protest fashion. And in the 70s, they find a new crowd.
The village people.
Wow.
And we always forget about the army guys and the village people. Exactly. The dress of the village people really represents hyper-masculinity, wanting to be, you know, the macho man to attract another man, but they also make military dress part of their uniform.
Over the next decade or two, other subcultures pick it up, according to Joe. Punks, new wavers, rappers, grunge. They make it cool, and then the fashion goes mass. Ralph Lauren does a luxury version. Calvin Klein does a version. Gap does it. Gap starts Old Navy, and Old Navy does it. And then in the late 90s, cargo meets a particular kind of teenage zeitgeist.
Abercrombie and Fitch decides that they're going to show people in cargo pants, but they're going to be half naked. And what teenager or person doesn't want to see half naked people? And you start to see retailers knocking them off as well, like American Eagle starts to mimic what they're doing.
Was Abercrombie and Fitch, like, how big of a role did they play in the popularizing of the cargo pant / short?
Huge.
By the early 2000s, Joe says cargo reached its cultural zenith. They were the best-selling men's bottom in spring and summer 2004, which is also coincidentally the exact moment when Prashanth is baking tombstones and looking for a place to store his Nokia brick. But this high point for cargo was short-lived.
The demise of that short is probably, I would say, around 2005. I mean, it just falls out of fashion. And what happens is menswear trims down.
Cargo shorts go out at the same time skinny pants go in?
Yes.
Like many oversaturated fashions, cargo fell to an inevitable backlash. But this one other thing happened too. You may remember that around this time, Abercrombie got into a bunch of lawsuits about its hiring practices. The controversy was huge and very real.
Abercrombie & Fitch, which once reeked of old money and waspy pretension, its salespeople are young, attractive, and it's been charged overwhelmingly white.
CEO Mike Jeffries, he said he only wants good-looking people shopping at his store.
The lawsuit alleges that Abercrombie hires a disproportionately white sales force.
We're sorry, we can't rehire you because we already have too many Filipinos working at this store.
Customers are returning their purchases from Abercrombie & Fitch, this after the controversy surrounding who the clothes were made for.
God, yeah, I remember that.
So it got ostracized. Well, they were known for selling cargos.
10 years after cargo's peak, cargo hatred is going strong.
Cargo shorts should not be worn ever, during any season, anytime, ever.
Cargo shorts have been the scourge of men's fashion for decades now.
Where are people getting cargo shorts from? Because I literally haven't seen cargo shorts in any store since I don't even know when. So I was just like, are they like that old and you're still wearing them?
As much as there are cargo haters, there are also cargo defenders. And you do not want to cross them.
I didn't mean to make anyone feel bad about their wardrobe. I was just trying to write a funny story.
This is Nicole Hong. She's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She usually covers serious topics.
Terrorism, narcotics, cybercrime and hacking, money laundering, insider trading.
Nicole wandered into the world of cargo in summer 2016. She wanted to write a light, fun story to get a break from the terrorism coverage. So she did some reporting on a trend she'd noticed going on with cargo pants and shorts.
It was like a silly premise that marriages across America are being torn apart by cargo shorts.
The article appeared on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, August 1st, 2016.
I think the headline was like, "Nice cargo shorts, you're sleeping on the couch."
To remind you, this was a light, fun summer story.
And I talked to a bunch of couples who fought over cargo shorts, and it was typically the wife throwing away the husband's cargo shorts or the husband secretly wearing them in defiance of his wife.
The article took no particular position on cargo shorts, pro or anti. She was just reporting the facts. But even so, that very day it was published, a flood of emails start coming into her inbox.
People would write me these long diatribes about, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to wear. I won't take out the trash. It was like stuff that wasn't even related.
What was the angriest email you got?
So one person, I think, sent me a bullet list of why they didn't like the story. And at the end, I think he said something like, you know, to sum it up, you're a C word.
Oh, my God. The backlash to the backlash blew up that day. GQ wrote about it. CBS News did a story on it. Judd Apatow tweeted about it. At least a dozen of Nicole's male office mates showed up to work that week wearing cargo shorts. They called it a celebration, but it looked a lot like a protest.
there's a whole industry built around telling women what to wear, how to dress, how to do their makeup, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I think for some men, maybe they weren't used to having someone criticize a piece of clothing that they wear every single day.
What is this about? This can't be about the shorts.
I don't know. So part of it, I think, is just the disbelief that they've been wearing something for so long that such a large part of the population thinks is ugly.
I have a bit of a theory also, which is that I think there's a crisis of American masculinity. And the cargo short anger is related to this, like, awakening among men that they are a gender as well. And I think it's related to this, like, ongoing discussion about, like, what is a man in our culture right now? Like, what does it mean to be a man? What do you think?
I think that's maybe a deeper reading of what's going on.
Fashion means different things to different people.
I asked Joe what cargo means, and he said, yeah. Okay, for some women, maybe it's this aging Abercrombie bro thing. To some men, it's just straight up strong masculinity. But he said it's also so many other things.
You know, for a hiker, it's utility. And for the military, it's utility. For, you know, someone who's outdoorsy, it means storage. For me, it represents practicality.
Do you use the pockets?
I do. Because I'm mature, I prefer having an iPhone Plus. Mm-hmm. So I put my larger iPhone Plus phone in my cargo short. So it makes a great man purse if you don't want to carry a man purse. I don't shop based upon what the latest fashion is. I shop based upon what I like.
And you like cargo.
And I like cargo.
I love it. Nothing is ever just anything. I think you're right. I think it's deeper than the cargo shorts. Like, these things meant something to me, but they're clearly like a placeholder for whatever. The things people assign meaning to sometimes can seem very arbitrary, but that doesn't devoid them of the actual meaning they're feeling about the thing. And cargo shorts is such a beautiful example because they're nonsense pants. They're pants with pockets on the outside, and battle lines have been drawn. I just love that this has been unearthed. And I can't wait to see what the next rung this thing grabs onto.
Well, I can tell you that cargo pants are the pant of the fall. Fall 2017.
What does that mean?
Joe sent me an email, forwarded me an email from J. Crew.
They're back?
Cargo pants are back.
People can't see, but I'm smiling ear to ear.
Every Little Thing was made by Flora Lichtman, Catherine Wells, Christine Driscoll, and Devin Taylor, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Annette Heist, and Doug Barron. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. You do you. The show is over.